That's what
no, no,
that is.
Yeah,
so come on.
Hello.
You can move around the audio, so like, don't drop them.
Oh my goodness.
Anyways, that is not the thing.
Wow, that would have been hilarious.
That is so strange.
What are you guys doing?
Okay, that's much better. I don't know what that was. Anyways, hi everyone. It is 5:07 p.m. Gonna call this meeting to order. We'll do a quick roll call and get things started.
Alicia Basquiat.
Present.
Nick. Oh, okay.
On Zoom. Sorry.
Nicholas Brennan.
Present.
David Brown. Cameron Chappell.
Not present at this time.
Jason Traverka.
Present.
Oral Douglas.
Yeah. Oh, you're not wearing any orange.
Andy Garcia Ortiz.
Present.
Gotcha. Irene Gattini.
Present.
Alicia George.
Present.
Dinesh Kumar.
Present.
Trinica Hampi.
Present.
Mac James. Ayushi Kapoor. Shrikant Karaikal.
Yeah.
Ocean Kareem.
Present.
Anurag Koyada.
Present.
Ava LaGressa. Alex Lando. Joan Gian Leo.
Present.
Xander Lynch.
Present.
Salman Matan.
Present.
Clarice Meffert.
Present.
Tian Nguyen.
Present.
Kunj Patel.
Present.
Angel Puder. Sarah Raimondi. Team Sep.
Present.
Cindy Wong. Yuting Wu.
Present.
Jenny Xiao.
Present.
Issa Yeah.
Present.
That's 21.
21? All right. Sounds good. 21 people in attendance. That is definitely quorum. Although we do not have anything to vote on this meeting. So that should be fine. We'll go ahead into, well, I guess we're voting on the approval now. we'll move into approval of the February 24th meeting minutes. Please stick with the meeting minutes. It's also a box, as well as the meeting packets. And if everything is fine and dandy, entertaining a motion to the previous question on this approval. All right, motion to approve has been made. Is there a second? Seconded. Is there any objections? Seeing none, that motion passes. Yay, we did it. All right, we'll now move into reports of officer and committee updates. Of course, we have our executive committee.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Today, we'll have two presentations. The agenda is actually incorrect. There'll be a second presentation. The first is by Mike Hoffman from the Climate Change Curriculum Working Group. And so he'll be saying a few words shortly. And then we'll also have a presentation from our president, Ocean, about the GPSA election procedures for this year, which will be happening within the next couple months. On the executive committee, we're having discussions, kind of continuing our conversations from last week with regard to structuring a special committee for disbursement of grant funding to byline organizations and other stakeholders on campus. Next meeting, I'm hoping to put forward a structure and charge for the special committee, which we will have an opportunity to debate at that point. If you're interested in getting involved in this, that is the structure and charge. Do let me know and I'm happy to move anyone. Okay, I see you.
Thank you. If there are no questions, comments, and or concerns, we'll move over to our operations and staffing committee.
Mary Rind.
So the main thing is we did the bylaws last week. I have done all the like typo removal and making sure that they are ready to go to the president. So they will be heading to Kotlikoff shortly. And then the other thing is we are trying to get our GPSA socials back up and running. So it was only me and two other people last time. So I'm trying to beat that record. We will be in the greenhouse in the Big Red Barn from 5 to 6:30. So the same time slot as this. We have the whole greenhouse, so we better fill it up. It's 30 people is the capacity, so be there. And we will have, at minimum, drinks, and then maybe pizza if I can get the logistics worked out. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about that, either talk to me now or talk to me after. And especially if you have, like, dietary stuff, if I need to order specific kinds of pizza, I'm going to order probably vegan cheese and then maybe a third kind. I don't know. So, yeah.
All right. If there are no questions, there are no updates from the Appropriations Committee, so moving forward to the Communications Committee.
Technically, what Xander said, the confirmation for the GPSA informal socials is now in the communique. It's going to happen this Wednesday, and it's also recurring on the 26th and on April 23rd. Additionally, the graduate school sent out a doctoral experience survey. This wasn't sent out to every student, so maybe you should check your email. There's specific requirements, but we would really appreciate it if everyone that qualifies were to fill it out. I personally did it yesterday, maybe 5 minutes. So it's really great feedback, so please fill it out. The deadline is fast approaching.
If there are no questions, we'll head over to the Finance Commission. Thanks.
In the last few weeks, we've spoken with Cornell Cinema, Big Red Barn, and Annabelle Taylor's debt group about funding needs. Those conversations are ongoing. At some point in the coming weeks, Seema and I will be speaking in front of you guys about what their funding requests are. Beyond that, if you guys have other ideas for things to fund on campus, send them to Nick, not me, and he will treat them as needed. That's all.
Thank you. If no questions, we'll head over to our Student Advocacy Committee updates.
So last week we worked on the ballot question. I see like a lot of people who contributed here, so thank you for that. A member of the SAC, Tian Nguyen, brought about an idea about expanding accessibility to TCAD. So we're working with a few folks in the urban planning school to figure out how that's happening. Yeah, those are like two major updates. And I just want to reiterate that if, you know, I'm open to meet one-on-one. If you guys have any concerns, please feel free to reach out.
Thank you. We'll head over to our Diversity and International Students Committee updates.
Yeah, so most of the updates regarding DISC have been sent out in today's GPSA communique, but I wanted to reiterate some things. First one is regarding promoting campus health focusing focus groups, and we have received around 12 responses, and we are holding the focus group on March 20th, next Thursday from 5:30 to 6:30 at Cornell Health. And they offered if any of the GPSA members would like to get involved or wanted to attend the focus group, just reach out to me after the meeting or you can email me, and they welcome GPS members even without registering. And the second thing is regarding the webinar. So we are collaborating with OGL and also Career Services and International Offices to host a webinar especially tailored for international students on how to navigate their career and also like visa stuff after graduation. So this is going to be on next Monday, March 17th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. It's going to be over Zoom, and the link to register is also sent in the GPSA communique, and also we will update it on GPSA Instagram page, so feel free to register. And I recommend all the GPSA members, whether you are international students or domestic students, it will be great resource to know about the tools that are accessible to most of the students through career services. And one request I have for all the GPSA members is that I'm going to send out all the info to you guys. So it would be great if you can send to your corresponding department so we get more people participation in the webinar. And the last thing I want to mention is there is like a stress and resilience workshop that ELSO is hosting tomorrow from 1 to 2:30 in Stimson Hall. So if you guys are interested, feel free to register for that too. And also we have sent out the tax info in GPSA Communicate too. I hope you guys find it helpful.
Thank you. We'll head over to our Faculty Teaching Advising Mentorship Board Committee, as there are no updates from Program Board at the moment.
Yeah. Likewise, no major updates. You'll hear more next meeting.
All right, thank you. Do we have any updates from the graduate school?
Yes.
Nope. All right, and that concludes our reports of office and committee updates. We'll head over to your next order of business, which is presentations. We have Mike Hoffman, who is here from the Climate Change Curriculum Working Group, to come and present. So everyone, please give a round of applause.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I co-chair what's called the Climate Change Curriculum Working Group. The other chair is Basil Coffey. He's director of the Einhorn Center. And I'm here to just share what we are up to. The emphasis is mainly on undergrad curriculum, but somebody suggested we should also talk to you. So I'm here for to get your feedback on what we're doing, other ideas, but I'll just run through a few PowerPoints and then really I'd like to hear from you. Maybe a little background. I'm now a professor emeritus, but I work about 7 days a week.
That's not good for a retiree, but I don't really care.
I've held multiple leadership positions at Cornell in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. In fact, for the 30 years I was there, 21 I was in, spending 80% of my time in leadership roles, enjoyed it. And I got into climate change thanks to a person named David R. Atkinson. He gave me a book, and I worked with David for 2 years on a task force. Although I was not part of the actual ask, the outcome of that was this gift of $80 million to Cornell. That's a little checkbox in a good fun thing that happened in my life. So put this working group in context. There's a sustainable Cornell Council. They have this education and engagement committee, and we're a working group under the education and engagement committee. Our basic charge is to prepare Cornell students for a climate changing future. Two goals: improve climate literacy for preparation, and also leverage curricular change, benefit the larger community, like through engaged experiences, engaged learning. The membership, pretty substantial. Pretty much all of the colleges are represented. We have Catherine Bohr, Dean of the Graduate School, included. And I think you can just see there's a lot of, we've pretty much got the university covered, from the sustainability office to most colleges. So why are we doing this? I think you're all aware, but I just want to drive home a few points. Those are upper left are phytoplankton in the oceans. They provide half of our oxygen. They're in decline. They're also the basis of the food chain in the ocean. And they're declining because of warming ocean waters. In the middle, you're not aware of the nutritional quality of most of the foods we depend on are in decline. And recent papers have finally started to come out. It's just not humans. I mean, to suspect that nutritional decline is affecting ecosystems, insects, and wildlife. On the right is the September image of the sea ice in the Arctic. When it's at its lowest extent, it should really be out by that yellow line. It's not because of warming conditions. The area between that yellow line and the white snowy ice is 750,000 square miles. That's now exposed to sunlight. It's just warming the planet. Warms the ocean, of course, melts more ice. You get the picture. Lower left, we import about $5 to $6 billion of agricultural products from Chile and Peru every year. The meltwaters have increased because the ice cap is melting faster, so they've expanded agriculture. That is blueberry production, the ultimate blueberry production. That's housing in the front for the workers, but as far as you can see, it's blueberries. Unfortunately, that water supply may be gone in about 15 to 20 years. And recent years, 10 billion snow crabs died in the Bering Sea. Water warmed, their metabolism kicked up. They ate everything, there was nothing left. They starved to death. But most important is coffee, right? I mean, can you imagine? That really scares me. I mean, melting glaciers have had enough, the loss of coffee. And now, okay, the why. A little more why. They surveyed 400 authors of the UN IPCC reports last year. And 90% think we're going to fly right by past the 1.5 degrees centigrade. 80% think 2.5, 50%, 3 degrees this century. That's pretty much catastrophic. They look at the future with more famines, conflicts, and mass migration, but they're not giving up, nor should we. So we're playing a pretty dangerous game, I think most of you realize. Can't give up. Imagine a world without ice cream. It'd be darkness and chaos.
I've given about 200 talks like this, so I got it. You have to get a little humor in climate,
okay? So melting, the loss of ice cream is also pretty bad, right up there with coffee.
I just added this last minute, two slides. There's a survey they just did of under 16,000 individuals between the ages of 16 and 25 in the US. Most of them, 75% consider their future frightening. Most are worried. 53% hesitant to have children. Climate change is affecting mental health. It affects mine. Climate anxiety is on the rise. How are you doing? I always ask this word. I just have to do it. In one word, describe your future given climate change. Just shout it out.
Bleak.
One or two.
Morbid.
Uncertain. Okay. Uncertain is very common. It gets worse, but that's okay. So I almost find it mandatory to include this. Those feelings are justified. What I do is I take a walk in the woods. It's amazing. You can meditate. Don't do what I do, because this is my business. Don't doom scroll. I have to be careful. I can get overwhelmed.
Work with others. Join others. Maybe you're doing this already. Action is the antidote to despair. Watch out for burnout. Choose your battles. You're not alone. Not aware. Cornell Health now has a program focused just on climate anxiety. So the student assemblies passed two resolutions, one a few years ago and one just recently, basically saying, come on, Cornell, we need to be provided the tools we need given what faces us related to climate change, and that includes climate change literacy. And I did speak to their executive committee about a week ago. What you can't see there is when I ask that question, like for the one word, I hear uncertain, I hear overwhelmed, I hear hopeless, etc. Anecdotal evidence of the students. Let's just do this.
This is the rest of that. Sorry, there's a little overlap here. But I think the biggest one on the bottom is in this survey, 75% of want to see universities and schools offer more climate change education and opportunities for support and discussion of students' concerns. So there's two main thrusts. One is we're developing a program for faculty to help them incorporate more climate change into classes or create new classes. And this is where we are so far. This is kind of the overview, and this is done in cooperation with the Center for Teaching Innovation. We have a 5-week program. They call this sort of a learning community. Help the faculty prepare students for their future, climate changing world, making sure everyone is climate change literate and how to deal with climate change anxiety. And instructors, you know, come on in. We'll help the program and help them design a new course, refine an existing course. And, or if you're already involved, what else can we do for you? And it's meant to be sort of a come on in program, offer you two things, but you're also going to learn from your colleagues. And what's the outcome? So, a prepared student, essentially, these are what climate change persons should be. Understand climate change, recognize credible information about climate change, able to communicate about it, make informed decisions related to climate change, and be able to address climate change anxiety. There are 5 weeks, the first page 101. I mean, this is open to all faculty across the campus, from the arts, sciences, whatever it might be. We don't care. If they're interested in getting climate change into their courses, come on. How to confront climate change, technical and social solutions, how to address climate change anxiety in the classroom, climate change justice. And then finally, what are the mechanisms to incorporate climate change into your courses at Dalbert? So the program set to go from May 27th to June 24th this year. And I co-chair this with the associate director of CTI. There's a new course. Guess who's teaching it? We live in disciplines. So it's really hard to create a course that just crosses disciplines. I propose this to some departments to say, no, there's not enough of our stuff in there. So Plant Science 4940 is sort of an experimental code. And try it for a couple of years, see how it goes. Here again, topics: climate change science, anxiety, impacts on food, health, biodiversity, economic, also biologically covered cosmetics. Because anything that's my, where I focus most of my time is how anything that involves a plant is affected by climate change, and cosmetics and food are right at the top. Mitigation, adaptation, climate justice. We had the speaker just bring in, he did an amazing job on indigenous knowledge systems the other day. Civic engagement. Tomorrow we're going to do storytelling and role playing. And there's a lot of laughter associated with that, because one student is a denier, the other is a believer, and the believer has a heck of a time talking to the stone wall. But it's a good experience. And this Thursday, we're having a climate change meeting coming. Anybody ever heard Aaron Sachs speak, historian? You'll laugh at the beginning to the end. The stories he tells about our laughing at ourselves, about how worried we get. It just, laughter is so important. Next week, Mark Hertzberg's coming in. He leads the largest media organization worldwide that is helping other media outlets incorporate more climate change into the news. I talk about the power of food and what Cornell Dining came in recently and what's Cornell doing. But a lot of us don't fully appreciate all the amazing things that are going on right here in Cornell and in our infrastructure and so on. Anybody can drop in. I market these special speakers. Just walk in. It's in room. It says right here. I should know where it is. I'm going to go to the 101. No, no. Bradfield 101.
Is it on there?
That's why nobody's showing up. Oh, it isn't. That's okay. It's in. I put it with. All right. Anyway. Yeah. So if you want to laugh a lot, drop in on Thursday. Bradfield 101. The idea is there's only the enrollment is really low. It's okay. It's the first time, but we're opening it up for others to just come on by and take advantage of some of these really special speakers. And one of the things I'm hearing, we've heard, and heard from the undergrads was, where are all these courses? There's no way to find courses on climate change easily, it seems, at Cornell. So we're attempting, and it's, you think it'd be easy, but it's not, to find out who's teaching, what they're teaching, where is it incorporated in courses. We're looking at different colleges, departments, and considering course tagging to make it easier for everybody to find out what courses are being offered. Again, whether it's incorporated into an art class or whatever, so they can take advantage of that. Our main goal is no student should graduate from Cornell without being prepared for climate change. Questions, suggestions, feedback, and I'm here to listen to what you need. Just keep that in mind. I guess with that, we'll open it up.
Do we have any questions for our presenter?
I'm sorry, maybe I missed something, but like, to what extent is this class like compulsory or like is somehow like integrated in the curriculum? Because I know that for some universities, it's compulsory to take at least one class on climate change before graduating. Like, what's Cornell's policy in general, and how does what you have said tie in?
Excellent question, because the working group has brought that topic to the agenda multiple times. Should this be a requirement? That is not easy at Cornell. Colleges do that, the departments do it, and the answer we get is students have enough requirements. Personally, should be a requirement, but it is not. And what we might be doing is going to individual colleges and see if that can work out. But I've also learned there's a category of classes called liberal studies, where a lot of majors require a few credits in liberal studies. So that might be a place where it, you know, maybe the student has choice of four or five options, but one of those could be this course on climate change in your future. Well, it sort of might be a workaround of getting it out there, but yet in a way it's required.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, there's other, bear with me. It's big news. UC San Diego came up with a requirement. And other institutions have done this. But when you look carefully, there's hardly any like a core course that covers it all, from anxiety to the facts. A lot of times they're embedded in another course. And well, that's really helpful, but I think we need sort of this core course to help everybody along the right direction.
Also on the topic of like of climate anxiety, I feel like that's something that I definitely came to the university experience, and I still do quite a bit. But I feel like just understanding a little bit about, like, for example, I'm in the School of Integrated Plant Sciences. And within the School of Integrated Plant Sciences, there's a number of labs that are working on projects that are intended to mitigate the contributions of agriculture to climate change. And that is a huge, and just the sustainability of agriculture, and like having a little bit of clarity on what people are trying to do, I think has helped me, be a little bit more optimistic about the future and know where I can contribute. Because I think knowing, in order to like take action, which I think does really quell a lot of that climate anxiety, you do need to know where you can contribute. And I think there's a lot of value in that. And I do really appreciate the you teaching this course. I think it's a really fantastic thing.
The head of SIPS, Josh.
Josh, yeah. He and I have had a conversation.
And even there, he said, Mike, we got bits and pieces all over the place. We're not coordinating.
Even in SIPS, or the School of Integrated Plant Sciences. So we're trying to make some headway there as well.
I think my suggestion would be to reach out to the graduate student associations within SIPS. And probably the easiest way to do that is through the SIPS Graduate Student Council. So as representatives from all five departments, and then people are as graduate students are a lot more familiar with what one another are doing and a lot more engaged, honestly, and have some of the capacity at least.
But you've also nailed it. Action is the antidote to despair. And knowing what to do.
I think we'll have time for one more question. Okay.
Thank you so much for coming to speak with us today. I feel like your presentation was really insightful and letting us know what this working group was doing. I was just a little curious when you were giving the list of faculty and staff that are a part of this working group, is there availability for like other faculty and staff that are interested to enter? So like, for example, if someone if a faculty from the book school wanted to enter the working group, would they be able to, or is it more like a cutoff?
We've been in existence since June of last year and made a real effort to engage and bring in representation from across the university. It'd probably be a little awkward now. We're kind of at a certain point. But part of what we're doing is we're meeting with the curriculum committees from all the colleges to get their questions, get their feedback. That would probably be the mechanism to sort of answer your question. It's going to be through the curriculum committees. Various colleges.
Absolutely. And then a quick follow-up.
So sorry.
Is there a way in which, because this presentation was really nice and it gives insight as to what's going on, is there a way that other people that aren't a part of like the working group to have access and like just kind of visibility, transparency, so we can see what you guys are up to? If I want, is there a way for me to come in and like listen in on us meeting, or is it more closed off?
It's meant to be transparent, more of logistics and who should we invite. I mean,
when I left the student assembly, they agreed to do a survey of their basically the undergrads at Cornell. You know, what should you be offered, what form, et cetera, and climate change literacy. So that's going to get a huge amount of feedback. I mean, I don't know if this group could do the same thing.
Or just among male members sort of come together. What
do you need?
Would be another mechanism. I
think that's the way of responding to both your questions of
getting input from the group versus just individuals. But there's
no website to go to and
the details.
There will be,
once I write it,
a report that will capture the progress to date.
All right. Well, thank you so much for
thank you.
Round of applause. All right. And we'll move on to the next presentation, which is my presentation. Because I am presenting, I am, for the duration of my presentation, relinquish my position as chair and be delegated to Nicholas Brenner. So please give a round of applause to Nicholas Brenner.
I have it on my laptop. I hold it up here.
Okay.
But you have to log in, and I don't know. I don't even know how.
Can you share your screen on your laptop and then just.
Would that be fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you can, just put the keys. As I'm tap on next slide.
Yes.
Yay. Yeah. I think we'll do it, please. Okay. So we'll be having
Bushi gave a presentation on the election commission and all the work that he is doing over there to put forward this year's election. So give it up for Bushi.
All right, hi guys. This is the moment y'all been waiting for if you want to run again, or if you're graduating, then I guess it's not what you've been waiting for. So yeah, we as in me have been doing a lot of work regarding like just figuring out like how we want to envision the elections for this year. Have consulted with people here and there, subtly asking questions and all that stuff. Whether you realize it or not, everyone in this room has given some input to a certain degree. So I really want to thank all of y'all for sharing your feedback on things, because it did help out with shaping what I'm here to present to y'all as well. Next slide, please.
Oh,
yeah. So just quick debrief on like who is the elections committee. Go to the next slide. This is what our current bylaws says for what the elections committee is. As you know, it's just the elections, it's the executive committee that's part of the elections committee. But we've passed the new ruling that if there's anyone that's also running within the executive committee, that they are to step down from the elections committee so that there's no conflict of interest. And that just narrowed it down to just me since I'm graduating and everything. Unless y'all want me again, then that's another story. And then that's like all the things with duties and us having all these meetings and stuff. So that's just a general thing. So at the moment, it's literally just only me, but I also do want to emphasize that if there is anyone here that's not an executive committee that wants to help out with this, there can be an unofficial kind of elections committee that we can like work out and everything. Just let me know, and then we can lead this and stuff. If you're planning to join me in this endeavor, I just ask that you also not be running in this election stuff. So if you are running and you're not elections committee, then executive committee, then you know, there's that. But let's say if you are running, but you still wish to suggest things, you can feel free to just talk to me, let me know, and I can consider things and stuff and bring it up to the unofficial committee, because as much as like I'm having a lot of fun like concocting this master plan and everything, I want to make sure that this is as fun as it is for y'all as it is to me. I also wanted to talk a little bit more about the general priorities I had when it came to creating this. I want to make sure that GPSA elections are accessible to a lot of people. So to me, that also means that people are more aware of not only what GPSA does, what each position do, and the time commitments for that. I want it to be more accessible in terms of the ability to run. So there's going to be a lot of like time blocks of a week or two length so that there's ability for us to accommodate everyone's schedules. Some of y'all are doing research and that takes from like that's basically your 9 to 5. Others have classes. I had back-to-back meetings and classes and that was insane. So doing this in a short time frame is not entirely too feasible. So those are not things that are coming to mind. And I also wanna make sure that we're promoting GPSA in the process, that people know what GPSA is, and taking advantage of elections is one method of doing so. And building that as one of many avenues in which we promote GPSA is things that came to mind. Next slide. So here's quick things on like what positions are getting filled. Executive committee is all these, including the chairs. As you know, we passed the new changes so that the chairs are also part of the executive committee. That goes into effect in the next election and stuff. So I'm so sorry, chairs, you do not get your stipend, unfortunately, but that's okay. And then your non-EC positions is basically everyone else, except if you are in the vet school, let's say, for example, or the law school, you have your separate elections, essentially, that's based on the school and everything. So there's also a few representatives as well, which are also a different thing that aren't necessarily elected as well. Next slide. So what's new in this election? Something that I'm introducing is info sessions. They'll be held throughout the second half of March. Most likely they'll be held by Zoom, and they're not required for you to attend one in order to run for something, but they are highly encouraged. And I'm introducing these info sessions because people may not be aware of like what is it that they have to do in order to run a position and stuff. But to allow for that accessibility information is kind of what we're trying to do. Something also introducing is petitioning. This is something that was done with the Graduate Student Board of Trustees elections and is also done in general elections overall. As part of my philosophy for GPSA, if you're in GPSA, you should be able to talk to anyone that's part of the graduate school or as professional student stuff. And petitioning as a means of like kind of like pre-campaigning that this is what you're trying to run for is A, a way for you to get your name out there, B, a way to get GPSA's name out there, and C, help out to show that, like, yeah, it's people that are definitely committed to helping out GPSA and stuff. There were some things that were weighing within yes petitioning, no petitioning. The drawbacks for petitioning was that it may reduce the candidate pool and stuff because it really does depend on people having time to commit some things and stuff. I did my best to try to mitigate that with the time frames of things, but this is just so that we can also make sure that people are more aware of GPSA and everything, and petitioning also helps out with that overall. We also have a ballot question, the first of its kind for GPSA. That'll be towards like the end of the presentation where I'll be putting up on the screen, and then Shunika or anyone else within the student advocacy committee can go and talk a little bit more about the methodology and much more behind that. And platform updates. This is something that I didn't know was not going to happen last year, but this is something I want to introduce. So as you know, you're going to be submitting your form if you plan to run again. But I also wanted to give there to be an opportunity for y'all to update as you go with you, because the candidate declaration thingy at the bare minimum should be so that people are like saying like, yeah, I want to like join in stuff. But you may not have a fully fleshed out platform or maybe not have a fully fleshed out like headshot yet at the time. So I incorporated this to allow for people to present their best self essentially as you're going about it, especially after petitioning, where as you're talking to people, you may get more ideas or new ideas. And if you want to incorporate that into your platform, in last year's rules, you couldn't be able to update that. So you have to like go and campaign verbally stuff. But with this one, you're able to add that into your platform. That should allow for you to be a strong candidate overall. Next slide. So here's a timeline, and I color-coded it based off of March, April, and May. I hope none of you are colorblind, so here's that. I'll just going to be presenting to GPSA. That's today, yay. And then from the 17th to the 28th, that's 2 weeks essentially, is when we're going to be hosting information sessions and when you can declare if you want to become a candidate or so. It's literally just a simple Qualtrics form and that's it. Information sessions over on Zoom, they're not required because this is the first time we're doing this, so I want to make sure that that's made clear. And then petitioning is going to begin on March 31st and it's going to end on April 11th. This was done because the first week of that petition period is during spring break, and some people may want to do petitioning during that break because they have free time and stuff. Others may want to actually have a break. So there's that as well. So incorporate both the spring break and then a regular week. So there's ample time for y'all to get 50 signatures or maybe more as well. We would encourage y'all to get more than 50 so that when we do the vetting process of things that we make sure that enough eligible voters are actually saying, yeah, we want you on the ballot, essentially. So there's that. Then from the 14th to 17th, that's a little less than a week or so, but should be ample time for y'all to add information, like add updates to your candidate information. We'll be letting you know by email saying, hey, this is what you submitted to us with this headshot. Is there anything you want to update or change? And that's pretty much how that'll go. We didn't do the full week because we want to get the 18th as like the day where we can actually like finalize the ballot overall so they can be ready for the voting period, which is from the 21st of April till the 25th, an entire week of voting essentially. We anticipate that for the first 3 days, we'll have like a lot of people voting within this election. And then the later 2 days will be like the final stragglers of things. So a week was a healthy amount of time for people to vote overall, because you ideally have the 5 days essentially. And then after the 25th comes the 28th, which will be our last GPSA meeting of the semester, that is also when we're gonna be announcing who won the GPSA elections. I'll probably know for that anyway, but that's okay. So results will be announced. We'll be inviting everyone to the 28th meeting. Even if you didn't like succeed in your race itself, we would still be inviting y'all because there's always gonna be a place for people in GPSA, regardless of whether you win an election or not. And allowing for this meeting to be the platform to show that there is a place for everyone, especially because there might be vacancies, who knows, I don't know. That's what the 28th would be for. And then all of May will be general onboarding with the old e-board and the new e-board coming together to talk to everyone, what are the general guidelines, and also an opportunity for there's a one-on-ones between the old and the new positions specifically. That's the timeline. Next slide. There's two things that I was considering, but I decided no. The first was the GPSA Big Red Barn takeover. This was done in past years, but general feedback that we've received was that it was seemingly unproductive overall Mainly because when you're doing a takeover in the favorite barn, people are not really concerned on who's running for GPSA. They're more concerned on what's next in their cup. So that's why we aren't doing a takeover this year, but instead we'll be doing petitioning, as that'll be more helpful ideally, as you'll be talking to people directly. And we also decided against doing a debate or a candidate forum. The main reason why has to do with the logistics on like where we want to place that. Also, if people want to watch the whole forum and stuff, the candidate forum will be great for everyone to come by and like sit down and like hear everyone out overall and stuff. But we also have the updated platform statements for everyone to show that as well, so that you would still be presenting your best self overall. And that information will be available to everyone. Next slide. So here's what we're going to be doing overall and how you all can help. So the main biggest thing that we've been doing right now is just outreach and stuff. A lot of the other things like information session, much more, is still like in the works or it has been completed and stuff. So we're just going to be doing outreach to departments, all graduate student club and orgs, spreading the word through word of mouth, putting up flyers, having an Instagram post. We'll be taking care of that to like send it over to our baby communications, and emailing people, especially with the ballot question, to like make sure that everyone knows like what is it they're voting for, essentially. And speaking of ballot question, the ballot question. So this was done through a lot of hard work within the Student Advocacy Committee that y'all delegated to. There are people that were at that meeting that were here, if I'm not mistaken. So to present the ballot question, it is this entire slide. This is proposed what's gonna be put up on the ballot, essentially. A little long, maybe, but it provides a healthy amount of context, but also the question at the very bottom. And it's been built to be as neutral as possible. I personally do not have much involvement in the creation of this specifically. Is there anyone who was that would like to talk a bit more? I'm sure if it just stepped out. I don't know.
I think this was why Dean Moore wanted us to end early, because most of the people who are interested in this are going to that other thing.
That's true. Oh well. Well, that's also the reason why we're not voting on this immediately, because we also know that this needs to be very short and quick and stuff. But we want to show you that this is essentially what would be written word for word on the ballot for now, unless if y'all want to make amendments to it, changes and stuff, or you formally vote on it next week. And with that, that will be the end of this presentation. I will be taking any questions, comments, and concerns.
Thank you, Ocean. Are there any questions for our presenter?
Thanks, Ocean. It's a question regarding the petitioning. I think at last election, I kind of saw that we couldn't fill all of those positions immediately, so we had to fill some in the fall. Do you think that having this petitioning requirement there wouldn't even make this process even harder to getting people just in here?
So yeah, that was a concern that we had when we were trying to figure out petitioning, whether we should have it or not. So we do want to have as many people as possible to run for GPSA. However, we also wanted to make sure that while that could be a con for having petitions, there's a lot more benefits to petitioning overall, which is ensuring that there's people that generally do want to like run for a position to be there and stuff. Let people know that GPSA exists and everything. This is basically practice trial run for people as they're campaigning, and so much more as well regarding just promotions, marketing, etc. So that doesn't mean that this is like the only thing that like GPSA is like using to promote like itself, essentially. But with a lot of the benefits that petitioning can have, and since there is frame of reference of petitioning happening here on campus, especially with the Board of Trustees elections and then with local states and national elections as well, there's just a lot more benefits that we're seeing. And so we're trying this to let this happen and stuff. And there may be some requirement that may change if needed be, but for now, especially with the info sessions and the people to have a long range in which they can declare candidacy, that was kind of like the methodology of that. I hope that answered.
I'm not sure if I missed it, but is there any opportunity to nominate people for positions?
I believe the person would have to fill out the candidate form themselves.
Okay.
Something that you could do is quite literally just send them the candidate form itself, which would be available to the public and stuff. You can literally go up to a person and be like, hey, I think you're a really good person for GPSA. You should run for this position. And if they fill out the form and stuff, then they should be good to go. And with this system, that way, like with candidacy declaration form, with the ability to update later in the election cycle, that the bigger priority is not like getting things perfect, but that you just sign up. So that's kind of like why I introduced the updating mechanism.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm a little worried about the time frame because, well, you say that there's 2 weeks, with one of them being April break. It is unlikely that there will be a large population of graduate students on this campus, right? So I think we would, on the whole, have to say that that is not actually a week of campaigning, and therefore only a week together, 50, which is also going to affect what kinds of candidates we get, where someone coming from a bigger department is going to have a way easier time. They're just going to spam it out to their one department, get their 50 signatures, versus someone who comes from a smaller department is not going to be able to do that. I couldn't do that. I could get maybe 19 from my own department, and then who do I talk to?
Mm.
So this is a...
Do we want Andy can respond or be like, no? Okay. Well, I do understand the concern with that. I will say that for the Board of Trustee election, when it came to petitioning, the ballot, the petition thing itself is all online, and everything that, if you sign for one candidate, you also have the opportunity to sign up for all the other candidates in that same page. So accessibility is already there as well. And if you petitioning for one person, your friends are also more than welcome to share the link to others as well. So if you know people and your friends know people and so on, then that's kind of the mechanisms. And as mentioned before, the 50 is basically just 10% of how many people voted in the previous election and the election for that. So that's kind of like where the 50 came from. But if needed be, if there's way too many people that are just not getting enough signatures and stuff, we can consider lowering the threshold and stuff. But again, we're trying to use this petitioning as a period for people to at least get the word out that I'm running and getting used to communicating with people, as that is part of what GPSA work entails, talking to other grad students as you are the representative for grad students overall.
Thank you. Andy?
Kind of clarification. Are we following the Board of Trustees rules? Because there were rules against mass blasts of this petition.
We are not following Board of Trustees rules. I simply am taking inspiration of the petitioning system, essentially. As it currently stands, there really isn't like too many big rules that GPSA has and stuff. So just taking bits of like the best of each election, essentially, was where this was formulated from.
Any other questions?
I would also like to point out another thing about, so the other elections that you're citing that use this petitioning method also have a lot more kind of consequence or kind of more pull than really the GPSA, and this is kind of echoing Sim's point, than the GPSA ever does. So, and that's not necessarily a good thing, but it is, I think, our reality. I'm not sure that we can expect to have the same pull as like the Board of Trustees, which has like a real financial like decision-making like effect on the campus compared to what GPSA does. So,
2 things. One, I would argue that GPSA also has a large financial burden on effect on campus, considering that we manage the student activity, that we fund clubs and organizations, and especially with the upcoming special committee that we have on grants and everything, there's a lot of money that GPSA itself is managing and that we're granting to clubs and organizations. So there is still stake and bulk for that. And the second point would also be, as I mentioned, that if petitioning goes as badly, then we're always going to be revisiting and stuff. This is the first time that we're doing this for GPSA selection. I still see some merits and benefits to it and stuff, but if it gets to a point, there is time and space that I fleshed out with Eric to ensure that there's still a bit of a review. As long as we look at it in advance, essentially, there's that.
Right. Irene?
Yeah, my question was around the platform and like the platform updates and whatnot. I'm not really sure based off the presentation what that looks like or how a person that is running can, like, where is the platform? Mm-hmm. Where are they updating this platform and things of that sort?
Yeah, of course. So the mechanism for that, when they declare their candidacy, they're going to be filling out a Qualtrics, similar to last year. And then they'll be doing the petitioning and stuff. If they get enough signatures, which is 50, and they'll get the petition, like, after they fill out the candidacy declaration thing. After they achieve that, they'll be sent an email saying, hey, this is what your headshot is. This is what your current cover statement is. Do you want to update that? Yes or no. There are other methods that we were thinking of, such as like just putting like everyone's like ballots and like headshots like in a website and stuff, and having people like send in updates through email and stuff like, hey, can you fix this stuff? The only concern and worry was that if everyone saw everyone's top names, then that people would be like, oh, I like this too, let me update mine and everything and stuff. So that's why the email method is being used, so that there's still like integrity of like people being like, this is like what I'm running for and everything. So there's that essentially. Once all the updates that are required are received in 17th, the 18th is when the things will be updated, you put up on the website, along with the rest of the ballot opportunities and stuff. And yeah, I hope that answered your question.
Any other questions for Roshan? All right, there being none, thank you so much, Roshan, for your presentation.
Thank you.
All right, and
that's fine. Do we still have quorum for voting by any chance?
No way.
Clerk will check attendance.
Alicia Basquiat. Looks like she's here.
Yeah.
Nicholas Brennan's here. David Brown's still not here. Cameron Chappell.
Not here.
Jason's here. Coral is still not here. Andy's still here. Irene's still here. Alicia is not here. Dinesh is here. Srinika is not here. Srikanth is not here. Ocean's here. Anu is gone. Sunyan, Xander, Shaman should.
Yeah, he's not here either.
Okay. Clarice? She?
Clarice Members is here.
Okay. Tian?
Tian's here. Oh, yeah, right here too.
Yes, okay. I'm still here.
Kunj is still here. Seam is still here. Yutin is gone. Jenny, she's still here.
Here.
Okay. And Issa is still here. So
still here, yeah.
We have 15 right now.
15, that is not wrong statement. Is it?
I did not pronounce the right horn for.
No worries. We can still show it anyway.
All right. What are we showing, Ocean?
Just one quick technicality within the GPSA charter, at least. Something that wasn't enforced last
Sorry,
year.
Is it, but is this new business?
It's part of elections.
All right.
Sorry about that. But it might be important to keep note of for future as well as just general things and stuff. All right. So hi, this is part of the GPSA charter. It's a little important to consider as like I didn't like see this before until like when I have a meeting with Jessica and everything. And these were not necessarily enforced in the previous election cycle. And that was mainly because these rules were written before the involvement of the Office of Assemblies. So the actual logistics was not necessarily considered. But all this is fine and dandy, except for these two things right here, points 4 and 5, which talk about the timeline in which voting period should be, as well as who is allowed to vote for what, essentially. Last year's elections did not necessarily abide by those, for good reason, of course. For point 5, the graduate students should only be permitted to vote on candidates from their respective degrees and programs. The current method in which office assemblies vote on is with open vote, and you need to pay a large amount of money per ballot in order to do these elections and stuff. It's much easier if you have everything in one ballot and just send it out to everything and stuff. But with the many different assemblies that we have, especially with the biological sciences, social science representative, physical science representative and stuff, having all of these specified and stuff much more adds up to a large taxing amount for GPSA and is just economically not feasible and also very hard to track with this stuff. And so last year it was all condensed into one ballot, which then led the risk of some people like voting for other things anyway and stuff. But the cons, the pros outweigh the cons essentially. And that's that mechanism. And then point 4, 3 days prior to the last regular scheduled GPC meeting, election period will open, ending 1 hour prior to the last regular scheduled GPC meeting. Voting member election results shall be announced at the start of the meeting. That was also not done last year. A much longer, more accessible variation of the voting period was done, which lasted for an entire week or so, and was much before the last GPSA meeting. And that's kind of things that worked out a lot. And I would like to continue as well in conjunction with consideration of the other assembly elections that exist, the employee assembly, the student assembly, the faculty assembly, and much more. So with those in mind, we can't necessarily vote on this, but just a general informal kind of like agreements and stuff, which I can also revisit next week if possible, kind of similar to what we did last year, allowing for us to bypass points 4 and 5 of this part of the charter, as well as making leeway for us to amend the charter to be more reflective of the current practicalities and practices of our elections. That would be essentially what I would be asking for the GPSA if we had quorum. I want to just put it out there and stuff, especially in the meeting minutes and stuff, because in my view, and especially in the president's views, this makes it a little too restrictive, which when this was created in 2023, immediately after like we got out of COVID and stuff, like sure, it was great because GPSA was doing their own thing. They especially want to abide by the last portion, which is that the office assemblies were responsible for creating and distributing ballots, to be considerate of the actual practicalities. Omitting 4 and 5 would be the biggest ask, essentially.
All right, thank you, Ocean. I'm going to treat this like new business because I don't think it fits under anything else. Are there any comments or questions for Ocean on this point? Going once, going twice. Oh, Irene.
So if we were to, is this something that we address the same way we address everything else in which we'd be voting on the removal of those things? Or how does this work? Is this a charter? I'm not really familiar with
so those. Because we don't have time to do a whole resolution stuff, I would ask that we informally not enforce these 2 points, essentially, kind of like what happened last year. And then we would draft resolutions so that next year we could update the charter so that it'd be more reflective of the current practices, procedures, and principles of the elections, essentially.
Any other questions? Bring one. Bring five. All right, this concludes the presentation. Thank you, Ocean.
Thank you.
Any other new business play on the table?
Seeing none, I shall.
Seeing none, Ocean shall be moved here.
Michelle's hand is up.
Oh, Michelle.
Oh, I guess I'm still not here yet.
Sorry. I'll be quick. I'm just drafting a resolution in support of international students. Similar to the Student Assembly Resolution 37, Ocean is also working on this with me, but if you're interested in getting involved, I can share with you the Google Doc. I reached out to SAC and DISC. My net ID is MMH265. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. All right, I'll pass the chair back to Ocean.
Thank you. With that, that was all for new business. Do we have anything for open forum, open agenda? Yes.
Just have a question, but I wanted to. I haven't been here in a little bit, and I was curious if people were aware if there's already been discussion about the impacts of recent funding cuts and whatnot to a number of research groups here on campus. Has that discussion already kind of happened? Are people kind of aware of the general situation?
I can offer a few words. I know that we've been in discussion with some of the deans about impact in the Cal's department with respect to some of their faculty employed by the USDA. We've also been having conversations with the graduate school with regard to a pause and perhaps pivot in admissions for graduate students. So to the best of our knowledge, many of these actions being taken are with the intention of prioritizing students who are here and trying to do everything in power to maintain commitments made in offer letters. So if there's a more specific question about, we don't have any legislation on the floor to answer your question, but we have been discussing quite a lot. So you bring up a good.
Any other things for open agenda? Going once, twice, yes.
So I guess we all received an email this morning about TCAT, like issue to TCAT. So does anyone know if the grad school is prepared for like what's gonna happen next? Because in the email, what it says is there's some sort of meeting happening with TCAT, and if it doesn't go the right ways, the grad school is requesting all the students to find alternatives in this short period of time, which I don't think it's very feasible for all the grad students.
Yeah, if I could just answer. That happened just this morning. The news broke. We met with the graduate school within a few minutes before this meeting. And so you can bet that'll be the top of the agenda for the next meeting when we meet the graduate school, but we did not have time to inquire on further details today. But yeah, you bring up a really good point. And I myself am very curious about what a feasible pivoting for graduate students, especially those teaching classes, means to share your curiosity.
Going once, going twice.
Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
I guess I just wanted to share maybe some, a little bit, I guess, uplifting-ish things. I guess, so within the School of Integrated Plant Sciences, we, in like response to the cuts and whatnot, we did hold a rally for science with really great turnout, including faculty and staff and students. So that was really good. A lot of people trying to reach out to their representatives right now, trying to beat this finalization of the federal budget. And then likewise, some SIPS graduate students also led a rally in St. Louis at the Maize Genetics meeting. That was also really great turnout. It was pretty, and that was in response to a number of very prominent researchers that were USDA not being allowed to travel to the conference. I guess, the effects of these things are hitting us quite hard, but it's nice to see that there is a lot of mobilization. So not alone, at least. So, and then same thing that was said earlier. But,
Thank you. Yes, I'm
not to that point, kind of like on the brighter end, I was dialoguing with some, I guess, organizations that I'm a part of, and the Black Student Empowerment Center, alongside the Office of Spirituality and Meaning Making, are hosting like an Echo of Wellness event on tomorrow at 626 Thurston from 5:15 to 7 p.m. And so if you want to take some time to take care of yourself, there's going to be yoga mats available, everything, and dinner afterwards. All you have to do is show up. Apart from that, please take care of yourselves.
Do we have any?
Forgive me, sorry. Promise the last thing. But I just, maybe this is a request, I guess. At the moment, I'm trying to learn anything I can about what avenues there are for science advocacy. So if people have ideas or suggestions or resources they think would be valuable, I appreciate the information. I'm Muhammadin Wadid, by the way. if you're online. Definitely. Gotta leave soon.
Damn. All right.
Thank you.
Do we have any other open agenda items? Entertaining a motion to adjourn. Yes. All right. Is there a second? Seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll see y'all in our next episode.
Thank you. Where is everyone?
There you go.